At first, Charlie asked, why me?
Right.
And then he changed that.
Well, he believed that somebody had to be that statistic. So he said, instead of why me, why not me? And he would say, somebody does need to be that statistic. And that's how he looked at it. As I told you earlier, I looked at it that if people could survive the Holocaust and go on, I could survive this. There was a time that Charlie was on human interferon and also chemo. So I learned how to mix medicine and give shots and everything. And I used to say to him, if I wanted to be a nurse, I would have gone to nursing school. But I learned how to do all that. So
he was battling this, and yet he could focus on business and manage business as well?
Yes. There was a time, that's really all he did, that sometimes in the 80s, he would go to the office around 11 and come home around 5, eat a very little dinner because you don't have an appetite when you're on chemo, and we'd watch TV. But he really did focus on business and being with our kids.
He then lived for 17 years, and when did he pass on?
December the 30th of 2000.
And he would have been 65 then?
He was 65 the 21st of September. So this birthday, he would have been 75. And in those last 2 months, as I said, he flew to Israel, dedicated at Makas Shimshon, went to the football game where he sat with the president and the senator, and he went to NASCAR racing school.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I have a picture. I have to go get it, John. He was so excited. He went with Donnie Newman, who's a good friend of his, who's also deceased.
And so he went to NASCAR racing school.
This was in November, and he died in December.
Isn't that remarkable? And he went through the whole school.
Yeah.
Because he loved the joy of driving fast.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's a great picture.
Thank you.
Did he know, and did you know then, that the end was near?
I think that probably both of us had like a premonition. But, you know, it was... I guess that Charlie so fully believed in living life to its fullest that we didn't talk about, is this the end or not the end? We both looked to the future. We had all kinds of plans, and that's how we live this life. So, no, I mean, when Charlie was first diagnosed, we made certain plans, and like I said, 4 years after his diagnosis, we set up the foundation. One of the things I said to him, I don't want to do this in your memory. I want to do it with you while you're alive. And, of course, one of our first big gifts was to OU Tulsa. And Charlie called David Bourne. David Bourne tells the story of how unusual that somebody called and said, I hear that you want to buy this property, and I'm here to give you the money.
Didn't you actually see that in the Tulsa World and the newspaper story?
Yes.
And you brought it to Charlie's attention?
Yeah, right. We were in Tofino, British Columbia, where we had to go in the summer because it was cool and Charlie felt safe there. This third disease, this autoperiphery neuropathy, if he stayed warm for too long, it could be brain damage. So in the summer, we would go to this island off the coast of Vancouver called Tofino, British Columbia, that was a little fishing village. And I was reading the Tulsa World, and I saw the story. I called Sandy Carden, who is still our executive director and president of the foundation, talked to him briefly, took the story upstairs to Charlie, and he called David Bourne, and the rest is history.